I said amen. Amen. All right. Now, before we went on break, that's for that seminar, we're doing a series of teachings. What we're talking about then was how to enter into enduring success. That's what we titled it. There's something about things that happen quickly in life, you know. Now, when Jesus was talking about the parable of the sower, if you go to Mark chapter 4, you know that parable, don't you? He said the sower went out to sow, and then he sowed different kinds of seeds. Now, some fell on good ground, some fell on stony ground, and he said something about those that fell on stony ground when he was going to interpret it. He said that, now even before the interpretation, he explained that when the word is sown, and then it springs up quickly, all right? He said quickly sprang up, but it did not have deepness of earth. That is, it didn't have depth of earth. Therefore, when the sun came up, it scorched it, and because it didn't have depth of earth, what happened was that the thing withered and then it died off completely. Do you understand my point? That is, when you see success that starts quickly, there is a strong likelihood. That is, the danger in rapid success is also a rapid end. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Because the things that really last in life, they start very slowly. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You know, many years ago, I was, when school, we're discussing, somebody read in a journal. No, I think I was a postgraduate person then. Somebody read in a newspaper about one American lawyer who wears $1,000 suits. That is, his suits are very expensive suits. And that he sent all his suits from America to Europe for dry cleaning because that is the only place he trusts anybody to dry clean his suits. Are you getting my point? Now, so one of the people analyzing it with me said something that was very, very instructive. He said that man is a very successful person. Then he was is an elderly man, maybe about 70 years old, thereabout then. But that the mistake a lot of young people make is that is the kind of thing they want to start life with. Now, the man who was dry cleaning suits in Europe from America, I don't think he was trying to show up to anybody. Yeah, that old men, they tend to be rigid. Are you getting my point? He doesn't trust American dry cleaners. Therefore, he's sending his clothes to, don't think to anywhere in Europe. I'm sure it's one particular person that dry cleans his expensive suits for him. So he will, you know, ship them down and ship them back. So the person was analyzing it with me, said that, you see, now, for that old man, he could afford it. You have to get that point. It wasn't a big deal. And then, please, don't judge that I was a waste of money. It's none of your business. He didn't ask you for money, did he? No, he didn't. All right? And then his $1,000 suits are actually worth $1,000. That's, you say, oh, so, but he's not struggling with you. You know, the problem in life is when young people now want to live like that. Now, so the man who was analyzing now explained to me that, listen, this man is a lawyer, all right? And then that he has been a lawyer for decades. And for a long time, he had been growing in what he was doing. And for him to be wearing $1,000 suits right now and dry cleaning his suits at such a cost, for him is not a big deal. It's because the rest of us are thinking about it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That he's just living what is natural to him. So he said, look, this is somebody who has been there and he has grown up slowly. Do you understand my point? Now, the error of life is that young people, are you getting me? They now want to say, I'm believing God to be, look, listen. What you should be gunning for in life, all right, is not rapid success, but enduring success. Now, these are things we have discussed over the last few weeks. I'm just going over some of it because I see a lot of us here today were not there when we started discussing all these things, all right? Now, what we really should be gunning for in life is what? Enduring success. That parable of Jesus talking about the seed that fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil. He said, immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. After the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. In verse 16, it was now explaining that issue of that one that did not have depth of earth. He said, in a similar way, these are the ones on whom the seed was sown on the rocky places, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they had no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Are you seeing that? That they are only temporary. Then, when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. Now, what I'm explaining here is this. In life, there will always be tests. There will always be challenges. Are you getting my point? Now, please get this principle. Why did they wither away? They were scorched. Now, let me ask you a question. Was it possible for these ones that yielded a lot of increase, was it possible for them to yield increase if the sun did not come up? It was impossible. That is, what made some other ones die was what was making some other ones increase. Do you understand the point here? That, but what was the difference? In the ones that died, they died because they did not have depth of earth. And then in the ones that increased, they increased. The sun is never a problem. Let me say that again. Because we can see here, the sun typifies challenges that we face in life. Let me explain this to you. Challenges always come in life to weed off those that don't have depth of earth. You know, a friend of mine called me from New York just a few hours ago. We're talking on the phone. I was just seeing him about EFCC. Listen, let me tell you something. Some people think that when Obasanjo has gone EFCC, we die. Let me give you a word of prophecy. Is that okay? Something worse than it will come. Did you hear what I said? Something worse than EFCC will come. And any man who didn't steal money, you know, will never be afraid of EFCC. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, challenges come in life to test the source of your money. That's all. I remember when I was in Lagos those days, and cocaine pushers, she is nice for one night, right? Those days was cocaine pushers that were the reigning in court thing. And then one day, and there was a Bangida or the man after him that appointed Musa Bami as NDLEA Oga, you know. And then that one also was very crazy. People can be shouting, which kind of law is this one? This is lawlessness. You know, he used to do funny things. Like go to Sheraton at night and tow away all the very, very expensive cars. He just tow them away. And the man said, no problem. Just come and see me and explain where you got the money to buy the car. There was no quarrel. In all those expensive car shops in Lagos, you know, all kinds, the man will just go there, change your gates. There's no trouble. Just explain where you are getting all the money to buy all these cars. Some will say, this is not right. You see, those who were not stealing, those who were not drug pushers, those who were not doing money laundering had nothing to fear. They will just walk up to the NDLEA man. I said, okay, please, your boys are harassing me. What is the problem? They came and told my vehicle. And he said, yes. I mean, look, this is my name. This is what I do. And they will apologize, and that is the end. But those 25-year-old boys who were driving Lexuses those days, half of them vanished. Nobody gave them the strength to go and reclaim their cars. All flesh is grass, and the goodness thereof are like the flowers of the field. God blows in different methods. The Bible says that the Spirit of God one day will blow upon it, and then the grass will wither and the flower will fade. Let me explain something to you. That's a very glaring one. God blows in different ways, though. People can say what they like. EFCC is another blowing of God. You can say what you like. You know, you say that it is a PDP policeman against the enemies. Don't worry. You know the way God does it? He will just finish some people first. When he's through with them, he will now face the others. Are you getting my point? Nobody, you know, they have a saying in Yoruba land. They will say that the king will use for the senior wife. He's still hiding up there, waiting for the junior one. That is, the junior one shouldn't laugh and say, see, they are disciplining the senior wife. He said, that cane has not been destroyed. It's a principle. So nobody should tell you that this is not just. Some people are being spared. It's for a time. Do you get my point? Their own rod is being manufactured. You know, God said something about the Babylon. He said, they are instruments in my hand. They are like cane. I use it against. Then when I finish using them against other people, I will not turn and say, hey, you this wicked cane that I have been using. Now, let me tell you your offenses. Then I'll now use fire to light that one. You are getting the law. You are getting the principle. Listen, that's the way life is. Don't let anybody deceive you and say, look, God is in everything. The Bible says the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. Do you get my point? Why am I saying all of these things? That is, the wealth that endures is what everyone should go after. Are you getting my point? Because whatever be the crisis in life, that one will survive it. You know, let me tell you another thing about following God. God really wants to know those who are really following him. You know, the Bible says that some people think that godliness is gain. You know, today as I was driving, well, my car was in the mechanic. So one man gave me a lift to go and buy fuel so I could put in the car. A colleague of mine. So we were talking, and I told him about one business he was doing and everything. He said that this business is actually doing well for him, and he's done it in his spare time. When I was now sharing some spiritual principles with him, that this is the way life is. I told him that we call him locum. If for those of you who know medicine, we call it locum. That is spare job you do on the side to make some extra income. And I said, you see, people don't understand that your locum, all right, in life, your locum shouldn't be necessarily something that gives you extra money, but must be something that you love to do and is blessing the people around you. Are you getting my point? So he and I were now sharing. I jokingly said, my own locum, all right, is ministry. That I do ministry. So just now continue. I said, but what God looks for in whatever you are doing is faithfulness. It's not how much money this thing is making for me. I said, if you are faithful in whatever you are doing, God will bless you one day. One day God will look at it and pour blessing upon it. I said, this is what has run a lot of young ministers, all right, or young people the wrong way. They will see maybe somebody like maybe the GO of Redeem, you know, and then maybe he will give a testimony that one day he was sitting in his house and one man came and said that God said he should give him a brand new car. And he saw the car, one very big, fine car. Like, oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Then you go another place one day and you hear another testimony that one man was just said, maybe Creflodella is preaching and says that one day some brethren just came and bought him a jet. Oh, hallelujah. And then another man will tell you how one day God sent one man and then he dashed him a house, very expensive house, and said, God, I should give it to you. Oh, praise the Lord. And the man said, man, ministry is good, oh. He doesn't understand that for every house dashed to a minister, there are at least 2,000 that are still praying to God for rent. Do you get my point? Let me explain what I want to say. Now, I'm not saying ministry is a difficult thing. It's a very lovely, and God pays well if he has to pay. Are you getting what I'm saying? One day, I told people that they said, Okocha is making a lot of money. That's Okocha, JJ Okocha. I said, listen to me. For every Okocha you see, there are 100,000 hungry footballers. They said, buy football for your child. I said, listen, I am not doing anything because somebody is making money from me right now. When Okocha was small, football was not making money. Do you get my point? That education is important. My son will be educated, and he will not start playing football because Okocha is making money. That one day, Okocha will stop making money also. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make here? That don't let anybody fool you. You know, you start singing because you believe that you can make 50 million naira with on one album. Listen, for every, what's the name of the reigning boy in Lagos now? Two-Face. Uh-huh. Oh boy, for every Two-Face, eh? There are 100,000 Three-Faces. You get what I'm saying? I'm explaining something. I'm not trying to scare anybody. There's nothing in life that guarantees success. You get my point? Don't let anybody go and fool. And let me get back to the main thing I'm saying. That is faithfulness in whatever you are doing that blesses, that God blesses. So here and I were now discussing. I said, that's why a lot of young men have they go to ministry believing that once I just start, you know, money will just start coming in. Then when they get there, the reality in life will stare them in the face. That's why you see a lot of ministers are using pressure, you get my point, to draw money out of people. It is not because that they are wicked people in themselves. They were wrongly taught. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, they thought that maybe, okay, after you've done a big program, at the end of the day, you should be counting a lot of money. They don't realize that someone like Raymond Bonnke, for all those crusades, one naira doesn't get back into the ministry pocket. You know that? Raymond Bonnke. Do you know how much it costs to organize one crusade? When Benhi wanted to come to Lagos, I've forgotten how many millions of US dollars he sent ahead. You think it's cheap to organize crusade? Each Raymond Bonnke crusade you see, it costs a lot of money. Yeah, the man doesn't go around begging anybody for money. Because he has a divine arrangement that he has understood that empowers his crusades. Do you get what I'm trying to say in all things I'm saying? So everybody needs to learn that faithfulness. So the young man and I were now discussing. I said, listen, what you need in life is to be faithful in what you are doing now. Then eventually God will now pour success upon it. If it is financial returns that God wants to give you, it doesn't even have to come from that thing you think you are doing. One of the things I have come to understand in life is that most famous people are not rich from what they are famous for. I said, if you see a man very famous and is very rich, most of them are not rich. I'm not saying all. Most are not rich from the things that they are famous for. Let me give you one very simple example. There's one man very famous for, his name is Ray Kroc. Is he, you know, what's the name of this? McDonald's, the man who started McDonald's. Everybody knows the man for McDonald's. But you know what? He said what really makes money from is real estate business. Buying land, you know, selling land, leasing land, and all that. Now, my favorite example, Mary Kay Ash, because I read her story and really impressed me. The woman is known for Mary Kay Cosmetics. When I read her story, the woman had a lot of money. Get my point? She was exceedingly rich. But what I found out later was that we know her for Mary Kay Cosmetics, not because she had a lot of money, but because she empowered in her lifetime hundreds of thousands of women. Are you getting my point? But what really gave her money personally, if you see their structure, I said that, look, this woman is not making too much money from this company. What really gave her money personally, are you getting me, were under investments she made, which God just blessed. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me tell you that in life, you have to define, like we said during the seminar, you have to define your success correctly. Are you getting me? Let me give myself as a personal example. I know of very wealthy preachers, very, very rich ones. But God knows one thing in my life. He taught me that before I started ministry. I am not preaching hoping that one day me too I will be rich from preaching. No, God, who is my witness, knows I'm not joking about that. Now, I'm not a proud person who says that, look, I'm not the ministry of money. I don't need your money. No, that is also another pit. You get my point? Try and stay in the middle of the road in everything. Are you getting what I'm saying? There is a balance to everything in life, all right? But Paul said that some people think that godliness is a means of gain. That is, they have come to church, they have come to ministry, they are participating in the things of God because somebody told them that is the key to breakthrough. And what they call breakthrough is that, yes, if I serve God enough, one day, me too, I will have a big house, I will have a big car, I will have plenty of money. And then you know what God loves of such people? You will serve. Pian can like this, no will give you. Then frustration will jam you for face. Are you getting what I'm saying? Then God answers that. Do you know what they call servants? Servants don't make any claim. They beg every time they need something. Say, you are my servant. Are you getting my point? I'm not giving you a dime. Do you get the point? You say, yes, sir. Some will say, no, sir. I'm going to go and meet Satan who can give plenty of money. Those who say, yes, sir. Are you getting my point? And you cannot fool God with this. He sees the heart of men. They are the ones that one day go and say, okay, it looks like I should beautify you with cash. He gives them plenty. At that time, listen to me. Let me say it to you clearly. It wouldn't matter to them whether God gave them or he did not. God first gets your heart to that level where what you are really looking for doesn't matter much to you anymore. Then he gives it to you because he hates other gods. You know, we discussed during the seminar. He hates other gods that you are holding to something that is different from God himself. You are getting the point I'm making. Now, so when we're talking about enduring success, that's what people should go for. So that whatever you are doing in life, God will increase. So for me, success, when we are defining success, is when what God has placed in your hand is succeeding. Do you get my point? It is not how much people claim you are succeeding, but when what God has placed in your hand is succeeding. Let me give you an example. I shared this on Monday as a testimony. When we were praying for this seminar that we just held, one day some things happened. I got a few phone calls here and there, response from people, and I became afraid. Like one of my friends said, that God, may God give you good problems. You know, because I called him and said, man, I had a problem with seats the first day. He said, that's a very good problem. That's a very good problem. All right? It's a good problem to have. So when I assessed the size of space that we had and everything, and I said that, all right, dear Lord, I don't think we can house more than 150 people. By the time we calculated, it was just about 150 that attended the seminars. Are you getting my point? But I prayed one prayer, which I want to use that to explain what I mean by success. I said, therefore, God, please limit the number of people coming to 150. And I prayed one prayer. I said, dear Lord, you know what I want? Let the 150 people that will come will be 150 pivotal people. What I mean by pivotal people? That a man will come maybe from Abakwa. Now, instead of 50 of them coming, let them be just two or three. But those two or three will take some materials away, be CDs, books, MP3 CDs, tapes, and go back home and go and share with everybody around them. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That if somebody will travel from somewhere, may it be the kind of person who will come, collect some materials, and go home and share with people. I gather people, say, come, let me tell you what I brought back from Enugu, and, you know, release the word to them. I said, God, that is what I am asking for. So when I saw the number, you know, it was about that 150 that we prayed for. I said, God, I'm sure that is happening. The ones I cannot assess, I'm sure it's happening. God has given me one that I could see with my eyes to understand the ones that I cannot see with my eyes. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So for me, what is success? If you said this seminar succeeded, no. One of my friends, for those of you who can understand this joke, I said it was a good seminar. He said it's a joke, it's a clown. He said, so how much was the offering? Now, he was joking. He's not a preacher. It's just that he has gotten used to the way preachers behave. So I had a good laugh, you know, that, and you know, some people, that's how they judge success, you know, like, so at the end of the come, how much? He said it was successful now. Do you understand my point? Are you getting what I'm saying? You know, I was sharing with this guy today. I said, I never do a program that is not fully paid up before we start. I don't ever do it. I will never do it. God knows I will never do it. He will not even try to tell me to do it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Nobody begged you to come and do seminar. Did anybody beg you? Say, please, will everybody gather together? Let's beg Pastor Banky to come and do seminar. No, they sat in their houses and you said, come. And they have showed up now. You're now blaming them that you don't have enough money to complete the seminar. Please, are you getting my principle here? And look, forget, I'm saying all of this because I'm a minister, all right? It applies in every sphere of life. It applies in every sphere of life. Now, when you introduce that into your life, that kind of principle, now, when you introduce that thing into your life, into your lifestyle, it becomes easy for God to give success to you that endures. When I say endures, it is not the length of time that is endurance, that is success enduring. It is what the success survives. Do you get my point? They will deregulate the naira, it will succeed. So it will survive it. They will hyper-regulate the naira, it will survive it. Charles Soludo will come one day and say, I don't want banks capitalized for less than maybe 100 billion naira. It will survive it. For every challenge that is brought up in life, that thing increases. I'm talking about now as if in the area of business. That is what you call enduring success. Sometimes I look, people say that our companies have collapsed because government did not regulate this. See, I'm not saying government shouldn't do its job. Do you understand my point? But any company that collapses because of things like that, I say all flesh is grass. God just blew upon it and it's gone. That thing they say is not a joke, that when one door is closed, many more will be open. That is the spiritual truth. If God is the one blessing you, for every closed door, look around, God has opened 1,000 other ones. Are you following my point? In fact, this is on record, that men who are really blessed in life, every economic hardship only makes them richer. And that's why I say that the poor is always getting poorer. The reason is because, see, in fact, this is somebody gave this to me as a fact. When they are in statistics in the world, when they want to judge whether the economy is doing well or something happened or did not happen, they don't use very poor people to check. And they don't use very rich. You know why? They say the poor people, no matter what you do, these poverty, know they come up for their body. You know, go. And then the very wealthy, they found out that no matter how much you try to fight them, they get richer still. It's a spiritual principle. So you know what they use as assessment? The middle class. They are the ones that blow with the wind. Prosperity, they will prosper small. Poverty, they will become poor too. You know, they are cold-blooded animals. They match with whatever is going around. But a real spiritual man that is blessed is warm-blooded. You get my point? If it is, you know, human beings, whether they are Eskimos or they live in the desert, the body temperature is the same. Yes, your body temperature is the same whether you live in cold areas or in hot areas. That is what makes you a person. You are able to regulate your own body temperature. Do you understand my point? That is the ability, notice what I'm saying here, the ability to survive trying times is what decides whether you really have the power to endure or not. That's why I tell you, look, everything that happens in life is a test. Do you get my point? What God is doing is testing your ability. God is testing something inside you. Do you have that strength? People sit and say that, you know, this country is very, 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 very bad. You don't know. I don't know what's going on around here. A young man cannot even find a job. I say, look at you, idiot. This is, listen, if a young man does not find a job, he should create one for himself. And if he does that for himself, God will help him create for other people. You don't understand what I'm saying? All the so-called wealthy people that you see, they started by, most of them, the guys who really broke out in life, they really started by creating a job first for themselves. Then while they were trying to do the one for themselves, they found out that they could not do it alone. So they called other people. Then after a few years, they found out that they are employing 10,000. Do you understand what the point I'm making? There's no job in this place. That's opportunity. That is opportunity. God tests you on the ability to handle money. He's not checking whether you have a big job or a small one. Whatever it is he has given you, he's testing how you are handling it. You know, it's because we are so temporal-minded. We don't realize that we should think in a matter of a long span time. You get my point? That's why we think that the man who's earning half a million a month now, he's doing far better than the guy who's earning only 12,000 naira in a month. But you don't understand, both of them, God is watching how they are handling it, and based upon how they handle what he gives them today, he will decide where they will get to tomorrow. I always say this, and I'll say it again. What a man is earning now, has no bearing. There is no way you can use it to calculate what he will earn in 20 years' time. You can't. The man who is earning heavily today can become very poor tomorrow. And the one who is barely earning today can become the one giving heavy-paying jobs out tomorrow. And this is a sound principle of life. It's a matter of divine truth. God decides that, not by the weight of the money they have now, but by how well they handle what they have now. Do you understand my point? Listen, let me tell this to you. What God is doing, all right, is using the events of life to bring your heart to the right place. Because if your heart is in the right place, then it attracts things to you naturally. So when you find hardship, listen, don't grumble against the hardship. Check, how do I respond to hardship? Are you getting my point? Listen, you know, something happened. I told you my car spoiled. So for the almost 2 weeks now, yes, my movement has been tied to how my wife moves. You understand my point? If she's not going out that day, then I have a car to use for the day, you know. It's been like that. So the mechanic now came today to come and check what was wrong with my car. I told him, I said, for 2 weeks, this car has been down. You know one of the reasons why I've not done anything about it? I said, I have sworn to the Almighty God that a car will never drive me. I will always drive a car. There are no car in this life will drive me. I said, if this car not work, I said, listen, I will go and learn the bus routes in town. He said, how can? I said, watch me. Just watch it. Let this car not start. No, I left the car with him this afternoon. He said, when it's ready, you phone me. But I just made up my mind that, dear Lord, as from Monday, I'm not even hassling my wife again. No, I'm telling you, I will dress up in the morning. I just wear nicer, you know, shoes that can rock a little bit. Now, it is not likely that this will happen. Eh? But I'm trying to tell you that if it comes to that, it will happen. That is, like, I will not say, I'm not too big. No, I cannot go out again. You know, Wale Okwe said he entered ministry. One of the things that pushed him into ministry full-time was that one day they organized a program somewhere. And three or four of them, young boys from campus, they would go around villages. So they will build this stage. All right? And then while they are doing that, one man is praying, you know, or they are building together, they are cutting grass. And then they will go around the town, the little village, announcing that Jesus is coming to heal all their problems. Then at night, they will be praying. They will not sleep. So after they did all of this, they now told them, said, how will we now preach during this program now? So they let us go to town and go and call one man who will come and preach. And the man arrived, well-dressed, you know. So it didn't cross their mind that it's a preacher or that the preacher should be well taken care of. It didn't cross their mind at all. So the man came and said, where am I going to sleep? Ah, they said, sir, we have been sleeping in this primary school. So you look at one corner, but there is your... So the man said, where will I hang my suit? So, like, suit, okay? You came with suit. He said, the man said, where will I hang my suit? And the man carried his bag and walked back and walked away. He said he ran into the bush and started crying. Are you getting my point? They had been laboring for days. And the man is asking them, where will I hang my suit? He said he swore to God that once he graduates from school, he's coming back to do this work full time. Are you getting what I'm going to say? That sometimes God brings you that level. Do you get my point? So every time something happens in life, you ask yourself, how am I supposed to respond to this? It's how you respond to every situation in life that decides what will come out in your life later. I said about the temptation of Job. You know, the temptation of Job was not really about how he will miss his children after we have killed them. What will he now eat? What will he now eat? What will he not eat? What was it about? What he will say in response to his trials. The first statement is, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Satan said, how will we do this guy now? He damaged some more. He said, shall we receive good of the hand of the Lord and not receive evil also? He said, after he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. And at the end of the day, how he responded decided where God placed him in life. Are you getting my point? So Babangida wanted to introduce SAP. And SAP sapped, oh, civil servants heard SAP. Oh, God, they heard it way. You know, I said they hear and way. The team punished civil servants very well. What I realized what happened then was God taught people productivity. Everybody that threw away the bondage of security in a good paying job made it. Do you get my point? Listen, I had cousins, who went back to their father's cocoa farms. Are you getting my point? And were making more money than my father and my mother combined. Do you get what I'm saying? You are getting the point I'm making. Because they just said, man, see business. They will go buy raw, that's farm produce, take it, bag them, weigh them, go and sell. I hope you are getting my principle. It's how you respond. Like people say, no, this country is bad. Everyone, this one. No, the idea is that there is a situation now. The example you should bear in mind is that of Jacob in the Bible. When Laban was maltreating him, each time he will pray, God will give him an idea. And I'm going to talk about some of that if I have enough time today. God will give him an idea, and he will use that idea to respond to the trials that Laban was imposing upon him. At the end of the day, Laban found that this man was getting richer, and no matter how hard he tried, he got richer. Enduring success is something you build inside your heart and then manifests outwardly. Do you get my point? Young Icho told a story once of one man who he had become quite prosperous in his church, but he was dealing in salt, you know, stuff like that. And then one day, heavy rain fell, one after the other, and then the river went over the banks and then went into his warehouse and licked away all the salt, you know, damaged all the goods, everything at the warehouse there. Young Icho said that what was worrying him was how will he confront this man. So finally he gathered himself together, prayed, and went there to go and meet the man. And the man, he saw the man smiling and rejoicing. And when I thought you had the small problem, he said, okay, small thing. He said, remember, Pastor, before we got here, we were nowhere. He said, we can get somewhere bigger. Just watch it. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is how he responded. And listen, anybody who responds like that will always come out with double. Do you understand what I'm saying? And the way you if you respond positively in a godly manner, you resonate with God's idea, with your response. Listen to me, you will always come out with double what you lost, minimum. You are following my point. That's what we mean when we say enduring success. It's not the one that lasts for 50 years. That's not what I said. That in those 50 years, how many challenges did he face? There are those who have been, you know, they have been in wealth in Nigeria for a long time. They have never faced EFCC. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Their wealth has never faced the testing of EFCC. Do you get what I mean? Now, if EFCC now, you know, sniffs around their wealth, the thing comes crumbling down. That is not enduring. You are getting my point? Now, those are the things that we're speaking about before the seminar. And then let me just add a few points to it, and then we'll use that one to close. Now, there's another issue, what we'll discuss, what we'll call your faith and your seed. I will not, because that one is quite extensive, I will not talk about it. Now, maybe I may hint something along the line as we go on. Then we'll talk about the power of the widow's mite. It's still the same thing about your faith and your seed. Let me just summarize what that means. What it means is that, see, what you are not ready to give financially towards, you really don't believe in it. Now, let me summarize it here. If you say that, this business will work, this thing will do work, we can bless people with this, and the opportunity comes, are you getting my point? You are not ready to abandon a well-paying job for it. You are not ready to take what you have in your pocket to invest into it. The reality is that you don't really like it. You don't really believe in it. Are you getting my point? No. We've seen things like this before. People say, this is what I really love to do. This is what I really love to do. This is what I really love to do. But what's the problem? They have a job that pays them well but occupies them from 5 a.m. to 12 midnight. Therefore, the 5 balance hours is only for sleeping. All right? Then somebody offers you another job that pays far less but gives you, occupies for only 8 hours a day, but it gives you enough time to invest into that thing you really believe in. You know the power of the widow's mite? If you are not ready to let go of what you have for the vision that you claim will work, if you worked on it, then you really don't believe it. And listen, if you did that, what you have actually done is to sow a seed of your life into that thing. Do you get my point? And that is what sustains it. Let me just say, there was one word we discussed then. Let me drop it before I leave the matter. That is why you must never allow a thief to invest in your business. He brings the crooked spirit into it, and that business will eventually collapse. Let me tell you something, child of God, so that you will understand this very well. If you know, if your friend is a rogue, you know my rogue, is a drug dealer, is a you know what we call a thief, a 419 man, and then you now have an idea, you now say, ah, this guy bring money and invest in it. Let me tell you what will happen. If he prospers initially, listen to this, eventually two of you will quarrel and you will leave that, we will leave the business without a pin. Let me explain again. If that business prospers initially, the longer it prospers, the more terrible for you. If it collapses at the beginning, it's God's abundant mercies. But if it prospers initially, what will happen is that when God wants to deliver you, he will make sure you live with nothing. Don't be angry. Let me warn you ahead of time, in case you're already in such a situation. Don't be angry. When you are leaving, say, Father, I thank you. In fact, if they gave you anything, as soon as you come out, Jesus says, sell it and give to the poor. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because what he has done is to sow a seed. Money is very powerful. Please, I can't go over that, but please, I would like you to listen to that message, especially. We tell you the power of the widow's mite. If you don't have any of that one in the series, pick that one up. Money is very powerful. Money is very powerful. Money is very powerful. Now, I know what I'm saying. You know, we have not realized the power of money. We think it's just a matter of you can buy something with it. It carries a spirit from the heart of the person who is spending it. That's why you see a lot of people who say that, you know, they say they want to go legit. I used to hear church deals. The guy has been a drug dealer. They now want to go legit. You can never go legit successfully with money that is drug generated. You can't. You cannot steal enough to go legit eventually and the thing will not be taken from your hands. It doesn't work. It does not work. If it appears to work, we don't have time to explain all of these things. If it appears to work, what is happening is that the environment right there is not yet rejecting unrighteousness. That means that land is full of crooks. That is, your problem will begin the day some men start praying. Your problem will begin when the truth starts getting told. When young men and young women start believing the truth. You know why? You know, God owes humanity, owes the earth a responsibility to prove to people that righteousness pays and wickedness does not. You don't get the point I'm making. No, God has to publicly display. Look, I told people then, I said, you know why fella died from AIDS? You know why fella died? He died from AIDS. HIV. Killed fella. You know, fella did enough for the soldiers to have killed him those days. They didn't kill him. They actually beat him enough so that he would die, but he did not die. Are you getting my point? Fella smoked enough to kill his lungs with cigarette smoke. God said, no, the cigarette smoke ain't gonna get you. Fella was a minister of God in one area. God said, you have announced promiscuity. It must kill you. And this must be known to the whole earth. Unlike what is typical in Nigeria, when fella died from AIDS, his brother, the late Professor Ransom Kuti, gathered a press conference and announced to the earth that my brother has died, and he died from complications related to the acquired immune deficiency syndrome caused by the human immunodeficiency virus infection. And then it was in Time magazine. It was announced right around the world that promiscuity is bad. That's what God is saying. It's a reference. Listen, God preserves the ungodly. Paul said it like this. He said, how do you know that God was not enduring with patience the vessels of wrath? That this God said, I should have killed this man for everything he has done. He said, no. I must allow him to get to a place where everybody will know him. Then after that, I judge him in a manner that everybody will learn a lesson. Do you get my point? Why do you think God killed Bob Marley with cancer of the lung? I heard all kinds of stories about cancer, about the death of Bob Marley. Bob Marley died because he was the number one renowned man on earth for the smoking of wee wee. Are you getting what I'm going to say? God said, no, wahala, smoke can well, well. But I must let the generations of the earth have a reference point that wee wee is not good. So, Bob Marley was smoking. I'm feeling cool. Ganja made the thing look like a matter of the worship of the true God. And the man was so famous, God said, ride on your fame. Then one day he was performing in the U.S. and he collapsed. And they took him down to hospital. He had advanced cancer of the lungs. God said, I want the whole earth to know that cancer, that smoking of wee wee is not good. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting the point I'm making? So when some things tend to prosper, wait, don't think that God has gone to sleep. The Bible says clearly that God does not always quickly punish iniquity. Let me tell you something. I said something during the seminar that there are generations on the earth. God deals with people in two manners. One as individuals, and number two as generations. Let me say this again. Judge the success of your life by how much you are doing those two things. One, your individual assignment in life and the assignment for your generation. I was sharing with my wife yesterday. Some things came up and I just called her, baby, come and sit down. Let me share some words, the powerful words of God with you. And because I had come to realize that the reason why God placed every child of God on the earth is that he must look for the opportunity to better the life of other people. And I mean that literally. I'm not going to qualify it further. I said, therefore, maybe from now, this life, I'm going to wake up and say, okay, how can I bless people? I'm preaching the word, I know. But there are more things to do. I will preach harder. I have to keep pumping the thing out. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, I'm explaining something here. So in your generation, now listen to this. God has an assignment for each generation that's very, very unique, very, very peculiar. I'm persuaded that, in fact, there was one radio message we had that was the year before, which I titled Righteousness in Your Generation. In each generation, this is in every generation. In every generation, God wants his own people to carry the level of righteousness to another level. The assignment for the Nigerian youth today, this is my perception, it's not a prophetic word, just the way I understood it. Now, just from observing the things around, is to show to the earth that a man can prosper without being corrupt. That is, you can do your business and not cheat. I found out that the Bible says that God hates, no, you have to understand this. When the Bible says that God hates something, you know, it's very strong. There are many things that God doesn't like, but there are some that he particularly says, hey, that's my personal enemy. You know one of them? He said, differing weights, unjust weights. You know what it means? When you are buying from one man, you weigh with something that is too small, so you pay less. When you want to sell to another person, you weigh with something that's too big, so that he pays more. It's called differing weights. The weight we used to buy is different from the way you used to sell. Listen, let me give a prophetic word. Now, I don't mean that God says say this, but the kind of word that God needs to effect judgment. Every man that imports fake products into Nigeria and labels as original, he will end his days in poverty.